Let's just step back to that, though. I mean, it's interesting, you know, that you walked away or hobbled away anyway.
It was.
Entirely.
Yeah.
And what did you then do in horse racing?
I have been incredibly fortunate again. Well, I also give a lecture in luck, because sportsmen always would say, haven't we been lucky? And you'll have to break this down. Luck is about influencing the statistical probability of event outcome in your favour. Okay, so that's a technical term of basically saying you make your own luck. You work such that anything that may be a 50-50 is influenced in your favour. So luck is influencing the statistical probability of event outcome in your favour, i.e. you make your own luck. Yes, I've been fortunate in going to medical school. No, it was because things were... If I hadn't gone to medical school, as I said, I had a backup plan of going to St. Peter's in Oxford, and I would have got to medicine. And so rugby and medicine had taught me that if you want something enough, you can achieve it. So I walked off the rugby field and I thought, I want to become a professional jockey, or as good as the professional jockeys. And the first thing was to get a pointer, you know, which is the amateur version of... by the following year, I'd got myself a point-to-point horse. I'd lost... I got myself a point-to-point horse, and with point-to-pointing, the weight you carry is 12 stones, so there wasn't an issue as far as weight is concerned. I got myself fit. I knew exactly how to train. I knew that I was in a better position than other people going into this sport because of my previous sporting background. And although rugby was amateur in that day, I treated myself as a professional. As I said, I would train twice a day. And I had a winner, point to point in. The following season, I had 7 or 8 winners. And by that time, I thought, well, this is point-to-pointing, that's the amateur side, it's time to take on the professionals. And we went on to the race courses proper, and I soon had a winner. And then I thought, well, that's it, I'm not point-to-pointing, I'm going to race against the professionals. And I was absolutely amazed at going from the changing room in an amateur sport into racehorse. Horse racing, which is a professional sport, that the jockeys did not consider themselves sportsmen. And I went in there, their idea of a warm-up was to go and sit in the sauna. If they had a fall, if they had an injury, it was go and sit in the sauna and rub some deep heat into it. You know, they were so backward, and the whole racing industry at that time was backward as far as their training their horses. And at the time, there was a chap called Martin Pipe, who became the most successful trainer ever, and a chap called Michael Dickinson, who trained the first 5 in the Gold Cup. And I was fortunate to find myself one, because I wanted to learn. I went on various courses, you know, anything to do with equine physiology and equine. And I found myself one day in the toilets with Michael Dickinson and Martin Pipe. And Michael Dickinson and Martin Pike were having a conversation, and I started chipping in with my medical knowledge and my previous knowledge. And ever since that day, we've been very good friends. And they obviously went on and become champion trainers. I still had a medicine to do, but we all trained accordingly. And like to think that we revolutionised horse training to make it horses were being trained. Sadly, I have not had the same success with training the jockeys, and jockeys are still, my rugby supporters and friends won't know, but I've been quoted many times in the papers, jockeys are unfit, fat and fragile. And the interesting thing about the fat is that these jockeys have to do a low weight, they have to do 10 stone, right? This is National Hunt, right at 10 stone. And their body fat will We measured it. I fortunately secured some money from the Arabs from Abu Dhabi a few years ago, and we did some studies. And the jockeys are carrying a body fat of about 12 to 13%. Now, our backs out here would have body fats of 7 or 8%. You know, and it's madness. And you've got rugby players with less body fat than jockeys, and yet jockeys are struggling to do the weight. And the reason is very short. You know, very quickly. Jockeys starve themselves, they go in saunas, they dehydrate, often use a little bit of alcohol to dehydrate themselves further, and they do the weight. And they have to do it on a daily basis. And the trouble is, they get into this thing, they ride their race, and then they immediately stuff themselves full of food. Because they've starved, and then they shove the food into them, that food is immediately put down as fat, because the body has been starved, and as soon as it gets calories, the next thing it does is say, hey, I may be starved again. So these jockeys walk around with a body fat of 12, 13, 14%, because their body, as soon as it gets any nutrition, puts it straight down as fat. And then they have to spend longer in the sauna. And it's the last 2 or 3 years that I've actually managed to get that through to some of the jockeys, and the authorities of the British Horse Racing Authority have now started to come on board and started to listen to it. I teamed up with a fantastic team up in Liverpool John Moores University, and we've done the research and we've shown this is the case now. So as you know, I still do my work with the jockeys, and I look after an awful lot of the jockeys. But yes, I was very fortunate. Went into the racing world and basically treated myself as a professional, and I found that very easy because the jockeys were not very professional about it.
But you always rode as an amateur.
I kept my amateur status specifically so I could ride in amateur races. So I had the dual purpose of riding as an amateur, it also allowed me to claim an allowance. So when I was riding against the professionals, I claimed an allowance. But I had the great fortune to ride a couple of times around the Aintree Fences, not in the Grand National itself, next to running out of King's Home, going around those Aintree Fences is something quite unbelievable. We had winners at Cheltenham and locally. So
what do you count as your greatest success on the racetrack?
On the racetrack, you won't believe it, finishing ninth in one of, over the Grand National Fences. I had 35 winners under rules, which doesn't sound many, but you know, I promise you, the majority of amateurs are lucky to ride one or two winners against the professionals. I rode 35 winners against the professionals. As you know, I was president of the Amateur Jockeys Association, so I basically made my name as one of the represented Great Britain most, you know, for the last 10, 15 years around the world, riding around the world. So I was very, very fortunate, again I use the term fortunate, to have such a wonderful rugby career and be part of the Gloucester team that to me was still the best team ever. And then I've gone into another sport and represented my country in another sport and had a wonderful time. And I was able to continue to ride until I was 50 years of age. And at 50, I thought it was time to settle down. And consequently, slightly walked away. I rode at Worcester one day. I rode in a race at Worcester. Hadn't planned on retiring. And I thought, I'm not enjoying this. I got off the horse, patted it on the neck, and I've not sat on a horse since. And that was the end. Just like the rugby, I had to walk away totally from it.
Yeah.
But now I'm back involved with the rugby, so, you know,